Well, welcome to Thanksgiving Sunday. And this is a Sunday we'll do a little bit different message. My hope is that we can experience some gratitude during this time. And I'll just tell you, one of the practices that I've found even more challenging during the time of pandemic is to find a quiet place in my soul. And I have to intentionally start and just say, just to be with God, embrace His presence, and engage Him meditatively in His Word. And it is a choice I have to make. I don't know if it's going to move Gary or not. You might have to change him for me this Sunday. Go up to the one that just says, give thanks. There we go. Thank you. So what I want to do is I want us to sort of practice entering into experiencing God with this scripture. So I'm going to read it, and then you're going to have a little bit of quiet. I'm going to read it again. And as you do, just come to this place where you're saying, okay, Lord, what are you wanting me to notice through this passage? What are you wanting me to experience? So just take a good deep breath, and I'll read it over you. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. It's okay. We love children here. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. You know the fun part about doing that with you? This experience is very similar to my experience at home. You go to these places and you're saying, okay, Lord, it's this, and then your phone goes off for this, or your spouse asks you to do something, or you know your work calls, and it is so typical of what's happened to us during the pandemic. And there's a verse I want to highlight for you today. And the reason I want to highlight it, it says this, and I think you'll see it right away. From one man, he made all nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. Verse 27, God did this. And I mean, if you have a Bible and you're in it, it's Acts 17, 26, and 27, I'd underline that. God did this so that they would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from any of us. You know, God did this so that they would seek Him. I think if there's anything happening in the hearts and the lives of the church at this time, it is this push-pull reaction to the situation in our world and our relationship to God. I mean, how many of you, let's just be honest, have found this time easy? How many have just found this as just an easy time to live through? How many have found this more frustrating? How many have just said, I can't figure out why I'm feeling sad today, but I'm feeling sad today? Good, a few honest people. Yeah, you know, these times and seasons, you know, they're deeply emotional. They're deeply frustrating. And some of the joy that we get through normal human interaction has been somewhat taken away from us. And so at these times, it's like, okay, God did this so that we would seek Him. And I want you and I to see that this, that seeking God, it, like you said, Steve, is a choice. Gratitude is a choice. Seeking God is a choice. We have to be intentional about what we seek, flat out. If you're going to get through this time with greater spiritual and emotional health, you can't do it alone. Can I say that again? If you're going to go through this time with greater spiritual and emotional health, you have to realize you can't do it alone. That we are designed and we are commissioned and we are formatted as human beings to be in a relationship with the living God, and He allows things to happen in our lives so that we seek Him. So that we seek Him. And so, last week I talked about what we dwell in, where we find our shelter, and I don't know about you, if any of you thought about the message the rest of the week, but I got to yesterday, and I realized something about my soul. You know what I realized? I was abiding in me and not in Christ. I was very aware of feelings of sadness and these kinds of feelings, but I realized I was centering in the wrong place. Does that make sense? If you find your center in yourself, you will never have an anchor deep enough to get you through tough times. You have to find your center in God. So one of these things that some of you know about me, but you will all know now is, so I have took a pottery course when I was in college many, many years ago, and it was at the Institute of Art, and I just loved it. And I was meeting with my spiritual director a while back, and I was saying, yeah, you know, when I retire, the person that's my spiritual director said, you should do that. I said, maybe I should. And so I signed up for a pottery class. And it was amazing after all these years that it came back to me. I threw three bowls. I'm like, wow, look at that. And put them on the shelf, and they canceled it because of the pandemic. So those nice little pots never got fired. They ended up being crushed again and made back into clay, which is a sort of a picture of our lives. And I remembered very early on, oh, by the way, I was able to, after so many months, sign back up. And so I'm making mugs and pots. It's fun. I show my kids, they're like, you need to make me one. I want this color. I'm like, okay, here's the deal. I was reminded that if you don't have your clay in the center of the wheel, you can't throw a pot. Everything will be off. And one of the hardest parts of learning to throw on a wheel is figuring out how to get this clay in the center. And your life and my life doesn't work unless we are centered in God. And when I talk about starting your day, and I'm not talking about starting your day with some kind of frenetic, you know, Bible study, I tick that off, I read the Bible, I'm done. It's starting your day in a moment of surrender and remembering and receiving the presence of God now. Like, we need to start in that quiet. And we have to give over those control centers, because most of the time when I get up, my brain is already clicking off a to-do list. And the Lord says, no, you need to click off a to-be list. And I'll take care of the doing. So I believe God has allowed the pandemic because He wants us to seek Him. He wants us to turn to Him. And why? Because I think this is a time where gratitude doesn't come naturally. I don't think it's easy to be grateful during this time. So if you and I are going to be grateful, you have to almost intentionally look for places of gratitude. Love this passage. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. I thought Steve did a really good job of talking about how you can look at an object and you know, find pieces to be grateful for, aspects of it. When you look now at your life, You walk through your day. After Sunday, you go through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Where are the good things that you notice? And what is it that you say, that's good? Somebody one time said to me, "Will you just light up when you talk about missions or your children?" I'm like, "Yeah, because I find them good. I find joy in our kids or grandkids. They just do. It's just natural. I love other cultures and seeing the gospel spread. It's just good things. I love worshiping when we gather and worship." That's why we've chosen not to sort of shut down, but we've said if you are concerned about your health and you've got some things, please join us online. We have over half our church online joining us. That's just how it is. So today, what are you choosing to find joy in? What are you seeing that's good in your life? As you look back over 2020, has God done anything in your heart that's good? Has He done anything in your marriage or at your work? Has He done anything with a friendship? I have two family members that got through COVID over the last couple weeks. That was really good. So give me a minute, close your eyes. And say, Jesus, show me something right now that's good. Show me something right now that I can be deeply grateful for. Now just whisper thank you to Him. Just thank Him. Thank Him. So I believe this time we have to be deeply intentional about gratitude, that God has given us this time to seek Him, but He's also given us this time to intentionally say, what is good that I can be grateful for now, now? And then lastly, we're going to do some communion together. And before we do that, I just want you to know, when I think of the Christian faith, and one of the biggest sort of apologetics I think you can make for the Christian faith is that the story makes sense. That the story makes sense. And what do I mean by that? Well, I mean that if you think the world was accidentally created, then you have to say that then material things were always here, material is eternal, and somehow our world came into existence. And then, somehow, everything was perfectly set for life to form. I mean, the distance between the moon and the sun and the axis of the earth and everything that creates atmosphere. I mean, it is this amazing gift that this world is. And so if that's your narrative, I think it takes more faith to believe that everything happened by chance than it does to realize that there's a loving God that created this world. And that story where God created the world and humanity turned away, men and women, and then God reached out to special people like Abraham, who's considered the father of the faith, who had Isaac, then Jacob, and Jacob wrestled with God, and I love that metaphor because I feel like sometimes I'm wrestling with God, so He changed Jacob's name to Israel, which means wrestled with God. And then through the nation of Israel, he gave them the laws to govern their lives so they could set apart Yahweh as special and be an example to the nations, and other nations could come and experience what it's like to rule or to live under the rule and the reign of Yahweh. But that wasn't enough, so Israel has to have a king, and God warned them, you're going to be oppressed. And they had kings, and they divided the nation, and the prophets came and spoke to the nation. And finally, if you look at throughout the history of the nation of Israel, you see this red thread pointing to Jesus. And 2,000 years ago, He came to this earth, and we're going to have a blast talking about it. We're doing a series called The Characters of Christmas, and we're going to talk about the different characters of the Magi and the shepherds and Mary and Joseph and Elizabeth, and just unpack parts of their lives over the next few weeks up till Christmas. The other cool thing that we're doing is we're going to host some contemplative Advent services. These are non-singing services. I've asked Brian Holmeyer to come and to lead those and to do, he'll do short messages, sometimes called homilies, and that'll be on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, because I want you to do four services that have the traditional bend that churches do in Advent, which is prepare your heart for the coming of Christ. And so those of you who enjoy contemplative spirituality and meditation on scripture and reflection, and you will have an opportunity to come at 7. Those of you who can't make it at 7, we're going to try our very best, because we're trying to get better online, to put them online. And you could watch from home. And so online community, you are not left out. We remember you and we think of you, and you could join us at 7 o'clock. The cool thing is, if you can't make it at 7 o'clock, you can make it at another time. You see, the narrative where Christ came to this world in a very timely way, and he showed us how to live, and then he did the amazing thing is he made a way for us to be forgiven, to remove our guilt and to remove our shame. And then he defeated the biggest enemy, which is death. Death. The only man ever, ever in history to rise from the dead. And then he said, this body that I have, you will have a similar body at the resurrection. That we will rise again. And then he says, I will make all things new. The new life that he gives us now spiritually, that life will have a physical shape and a physical body. I can't imagine it. And there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. And let me tell you, friends, that's the story that makes the best sense to me. That's the story we celebrate every time we take the cup of the Lord. And I want you to know that we don't emphasize this passage, but why do we call communion the Eucharist? It's a Greek word, Eucharisto, which is the same one here. It's not the cup of thanksgiving. A lot of translations translate that, the cup of blessing. But it's where we get the word Eucharist in Scripture. For which we give thanks a participation. That word participation is the word, same word koinonia, fellowship. So we are having an active fellowship in the blood of Christ. And is not the bread that we break a fellowship, a participation in the body of Christ, because there is one loaf, and we who are many are one body, for we all share the same loaf. So if you there are people out there, and we have all sorts of views on communion, but to me, this passage is the clearest in Scripture that when we take communion, the bread and the wine, there is something deep that's happening spiritually in this act. Because the Apostle Paul says, we're participating, we're fellowshipping. There is a presence of Christ that we get to take into our body. And I just say, guys, I don't understand it. It's a mystery. And so when we do this, I do it very much like salvation. I just receive by faith everything that God has for me when we do this. So if you got those little chalices, don't take off the top before you take off the bottom. The bottom has the bread, and so you take that one off first. Okay. And then we'll take this together. And let me just say this. This is quoted out of Corinthians 11. Jesus Christ, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he broke it, and he said, take and eat. This is my body, which has been given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take his bread together. Body. And now you have to peel back the top one. Welcome to communion during COVID. And also in the same manner, he took a cup. He said, "Take and drink, this is my blood which has been given for you. Do this and remember me." Let's fellowship with Christ. Let me give you something from my history. Now may the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and keep you in true faith now and forevermore. Amen. Lord, we want to just keep that fellowship going. We confess today that it's Thanksgiving week, and we struggle with giving thanks. That it seems like the world around us wants to place a blanket of discouragement on us. And we ask, Lord, to be able to have the gift to seek you, to start our days in you, to find our rest in you. We ask that we could every day identify the good in our lives, that good gifts that you're bringing to our lives, and notice them. I want to thank you, Lord, that one of the gifts that you've given this church is Pastor Rebecca and Pastor Mark. And we thank you for the gifts that you have given. We thank you for the gifts that you have given this body, Lord, and the ways that we're able to serve our community. Thank you for this outreach to the teachers that we're able to participate in. Thank you for the outreach to at Christmas, or outreach to some of the needy families in our community. And so, Father, we just give ourselves to you today. We ask that just like the potter needs to center the clay on the wheel, that we could center our souls in you today. Christ the King Sunday. Thank you, Jesus. Thanksgiving Sunday. Amen.